welcome to episode 9 of Your Hearth at Home. My name is Tara, and I am so grateful that you are here. Today, I am so excited to be speaking with Krista Teer. She is a business mentor and a high-performance specialist based in Byron Bay on the east coast of Australia. Krista is a personal and professional inspiration to me, and in this episode, she delves into all of the reasons why that is. She shares her story, which depicts her interest in business from a very young age and how she grew into creating 4, 6, and 7-figure businesses while raising a child and while navigating a tumultuous home and personal life. She proves that there is literally no excuse, that nothing stands in the way of your greatness but you. She talks about uncertainty as a gift, pain as a teacher, and the need at times to undo what has been done in order to remember what you truly are. Krista also shares with you her personal and most potent modalities for self-love and tips for implementation not only of those modalities, but also tips for taking action to move into a life fueled by passion so that you don't have to work one more day. I am so grateful to be able to connect you to Krista's story and wisdom in this space. I hope that you enjoy. Welcome back to Your Hearth at Home. I am so very grateful that you are here. And I am so, so, so grateful to have Krista Teer here today to share her magic with us. She is a very inspiring woman who has just a multifaceted story that I am so excited to have shared in this space. Krista, thank you for being here today.
Oh, it's such an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. So let's just get started. I would love to hear a bit more about some, like, the context for where you are today, kind of what maybe brought you onto this path of expansion and what has influenced you along the way?
Yes, I would love to share. So to give context of where I am today, I am a business mentor and a high performance specialist, and I coach people all around the globe in multiple businesses, you know, other coaches and other mentors, people in the e-commerce space, you know, people that own brick and mortar businesses, entrepreneurs of all types. And I think that I have a very different approach in the way that I am super knowledgeable in business because I've been doing it for 14 years. So the structure and the strategy and all of the implementation and the accountability is definitely what lights me up. But I started my journey with so many other modalities that I use, you know, in order to get people sustainable results in whatever it is that they are desiring to create. So for me, I personally believe that success is so much more than the amount of money that we have in our bank account. Mm-hmm. And while that is obviously enabling us to create more impact, you know, having that income and that cash flow, it's really important that we understand money only amplifies who we are. So if we're someone that is an ego and, you know, we lack gratitude and we are, you know, sort of caught up in the pessimistic perspective of life, it's only ever going to amplify it. But then on the flip side, if we are kind and a person of contribution and grateful and joyous and happy and really content with the simplistic moments in life, money is also just going to amplify that. Mm. So I started my journey when I was 18 years old. I actually met my ex-husband when I was 17. And then when I was 18, I decided that I wanted to open my own business. So I grew up in a very entrepreneurial family. My dad owned 9-figure businesses, and I had the gift of just being immersed in great work ethic and constant conversation about culture and team and leadership. And I'm really grateful for that. And one of the greatest gifts that my parents gave me was to do it on my own. You know, as much as I grew up in a very privileged family. I was never spoon-fed. You know, it was never that I was a spoiled little kid. It was always, if you want to create the same, yes, you're going to have an amazing inheritance, but if you want to create the same, you've got to get out there and you've got to do it. And I recall on multiple occasions, even at the age of like 3 and 4, I had a cubby house in my backyard and I had one of my dad's old briefcases and I would pack it up in the morning and I would go down to my cubby house and I would set up business for the day. I think there was like a fairy shop at one stage and then there was a hairdressing salon and there were all of these businesses that I had in my back cubby house. So it was always something that I loved. I loved creating. I loved innovating. I loved, you know, starting a project and really putting everything that I had into that. So that was one of my greatest gifts, you know, growing up in that sort of dynamic. So I left school when I was in grade 11 to do my hairdressing apprenticeship. And I just knew that I was going to finish my apprenticeship. I was going to fast track it. And I was going to own my own business. There just wasn't anything else that was even in my vortex. There was never a moment where I thought I'm going to be an employee. It was like, nope, this is what's going to happen. And this is the amazing thing about beliefs, you know, like I believed in every inch of my being that was, it was just so, and so it was. So at 18, after meeting my ex-husband at 17, I opened my own salon, and there's part of me that doesn't even know how I did it. You know, looking back now, I'm like, I was just so definitive in opening it that I just made a way out of no way. And I created huge success. You know, it was, I had clients flying in from Sydney, and, you know, before I opened my salon, when I was still in my apprenticeship, I had the luxury of working in some very opulent salons and working on other, you know, celebrities. And, you know, I really was immersed in that industry. So I scaled that business to 6 figures, and then I sold my salon just after my daughter was born, when I was, 20, just before I turned 23. So, I absolutely loved it. And during that time I had, an ex-husband who I am very close with now and I love very dearly. But he was involved in a whole world, that I wasn't familiar with. And there was a huge level of naivety, on my part that I take full ownership of. And in order for him in attempts to try to get him away from that world and use his entrepreneurial skills in the right way, I set him up with the profits from my salon in his own health cafe. So that was the first of our chain of cafes that we embarked into. But, you know, it didn't sort of shift his perspective on the way he was doing things, and he ended up going to prison. So I was, you can imagine, obviously at that age, there was just so much uncertainty, and it's the greatest gift, you know, because people talk about fear, you know, and I think that when you have dealt with the level of uncertainty and the level of survival fear that I experienced, I know that it set me up to be the resilient person that I am and to enable me to have the strength that I have today. So he was charged, and we, you know, at a very young age, both of us were extremely successful. You know, we had built great businesses. We owned our own home. We had about $250,000 to $300,000 equity in our home. And we were really doing very well. And when he was charged, we spent, 3.5 years in court fighting it, and we lost everything. So, you know, forking out $300,000 in lawyer's fees, and then he ended up going to prison for a couple of years. And at that moment, it was like, I believe that everyone makes a mistake, and obviously there's repercussions to that mistake. But, you know, it's stupidity when it happens again. So I went on while he was away. I went on and set another 2 health cafes up. So I was running, owning and operating 3 health cafes and raising a child of my own. And I scaled all of them to 6 and 7 figures. And while I was working 14-hour days and going up to a prison every weekend to see him, and, you know, I had a child that was diagnosed ADD way back when. She's completely healed now, but it was a lot. And I reached burnout on multiple occasions. And my mum always used to say to me when I was growing up, we're never dealt with anything that we can't handle. And sometimes if we're living in the what if, sometimes if we're living in the, well, how would I respond in that moment? We don't, or we can't comprehend the strength that we are given in the moments. And, you know, I went through that process with absolute resilience, and I came out the other end feeling completely broken because I had just survived for so many years trying to keep my head above water, because I thought if I stopped or if I expressed emotion or if I broke down, I wouldn't know how to put it all back together. So when he was released from prison, we weren't actually together, because he insinuated on multiple occasions that he hadn't changed, and I just wasn't willing to be, part of the repercussions that were going to happen again. So I left him while he was away, and he came out and we tried to work on the relationship and rebuild what had been torn apart, but it became physically abusive and I left once and for all. And I walked away with that from that marriage with $0. I gave him everything. I just wanted to start clean. I just wanted to start fresh. I felt like I was living a life for so many years that wasn't even me. It was simply following other people's map of the world, because I never truly had the time or the opportunity to develop my own beliefs or my own identity or, my map of the world and what I wanted to be and what I wanted to stand for. And when I left that marriage, that was, during the process, when you're in a state of fight or flight, it's pretty easy because you're just surviving. But then when you stop and you stop, it's when the emotion pours out of you. And that's when I truly felt broken. And there was one moment that I recall. I was in fetal position on the floor. I talk about it all the time because it was the moment that everything changed for me. And I was literally in fetal position on the floor, and I'd suffered anxiety and depression and panic attacks and eating disorders throughout this process, and deep levels of fear, like the fear was almost overwhelming, and it was fear of survival, and I was so broken in fetal position on the floor, and I was crying, and the pain was almost overwhelming. And I just didn't know, I had suicidal thoughts, and the only thing that kept me from going to that place was the love that I have for my child. And I could just never do that. I said to Mum, I just don't know how I can do another day. Like, I can't do anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm in pain, and I just can't pick myself up this time. And Mum grabbed my hand and she looked at me and she said, "Get up. God only gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers. So get up, because you're born with greatness. And I knew from the day that you were born to be something big. And this is the journey of greatness. And if you can get through this, you can get through anything." And that was like the pivotal moment that I realized that the pain, the suffering, the experience wasn't mine to keep, but it was mine to give. And I vowed to myself, it was easy to step back into another business. And, once I sold all of the cafes to get out of it, because I couldn't keep working 14 hour days and live a life, or I hadn't gone on a holiday in so many years because I had to be there constantly. I was chained to this brick and mortar business. So I sold up everything and I was like, right, what truly lights me up? And what I saw at the essence of everything that I did was genuinely just wanting to help people. In the way of hair, it was to make people feel, better about themselves aesthetically. And, everyone, it's common knowledge that hairdressers are like counselors. And I think that that was the gift that, gave me such a great ability to communicate and understand people and read people at such an innate level. And then even in the health cafes, it was all of the intention behind the food that I would create. It was nourishing people and nurturing people. And once again, being that person that people looked forward to seeing during the day. So I established that everything that I did was just to contribute and to make a difference to the world and to people's lives. And so I did recognize that I wanted to go into some coaching or mentoring space. And the first thing would be business mentoring. Integrity has always been a big thing for me. So I didn't feel in integrity coming into a coaching or a mentoring space, being a business coach straight away without creating success in the online space. So I went out there and I studied nutrition. Many years ago, I started doing my Bachelor of Naturopathy, and I deferred it just because of all of the business that we had. It was just too much for me to do from a time perspective. So I went back and I did nutrition, and then I did my NLP training, and I did some somatic work, and I did breathwork practitioner training, and all of these different pieces and modalities that slowly came together and created this all-encompassing approach in what I was doing. So I created huge success in the nutritional and the mindset and sort of the empowerment state space. And then I felt like it was time to lean in and work with leaders and truly give people the gifts of all of my wisdom and knowledge in the amount of business that I have been immersed in for my whole life. So now I've been in the business space for many years, and I have the privilege of working with so many amazing leaders and entrepreneurs all around the world. And, you know, the most interesting part is that sometimes I don't even feel like the journey that I've walked was me. But at the same time, I know it's made me who I am, because I just don't think that, I don't think greatness is necessarily born. I think that greatness is created through life experience and the ability to have resilience throughout that process.
That's really this idea of greatness is quite profound. When your mom said, "This is the journey of greatness." Do you feel that one needs to go to some kind of low in order to have that resiliency that you've experienced in your life?
Yeah, and I think that it's all relatable. Like, we all go through moments, but I just don't think we see what we're truly made of until we go to that depth. We're not truly accessing the strength that we have as a human being until we go to that depth, because that shows us what we're made of in that moment, right? All of us just playing in this realm of mediocrity and familiarity, and it's not until we're dealt with something that is far beyond what we thought we could ever deal with that we have to build ourselves to a capacity in order to sustain ourselves during that time.
I definitely feel as though some of my low points have unlocked something within me.
Yes.
Yeah, that perhaps I was not aware of was present. Please pardon the interruption in this wonderful podcast episode. I'd like to take a moment to share with you the opportunity to be in community and supported in your at-home practice of self-love. I invite you to join the Sacred Circle Collective. This is a group of like-hearted people who gather at each quarter moon to complete a practice, whether that be meditation, movement, breathwork, or any of the other fun stuff that we get up to in the space. This collective is about setting aside 1 hour each week to invest in yourself. If you are listening to this podcast episode, then I believe that you are conscious, curious, and open to practicing self-love. Click the link in the show notes for further information and to claim your first month free. That's all replays, 4 live practices, and the chance to be in this community at no charge with no obligation. I am so grateful and excited to share this space with you, and I can't wait to see you in there. And now, back to the podcast. So aside from, you know, low points or traumatic experiences, what I'm really loving shedding light on is more proactive ways to unlock these aspects of self. So that hopefully one doesn't have to hit such a low to be able to find these things. And with your breadth of experience, the NLP, breathwork, all of these amazing tools that you have in your tool belt, do you have some recommendations or some insight that you could share on particular modalities or methods, rituals that you use or that might help others?
Definitely. I think the biggest piece is letting go of the expectation that life is always going to be what you want it to be, right? I think it's so many of us are addicted to the idea of only experiencing happiness and joy. And then we find deep disappointment when it's not that. But it's the beautiful polarity that we get to experience in our life. You know, pain is our greatest teacher. And if we don't deem it as bad, if we stop putting that negative connotation on it, we're going to enable, like, we'll actually be taught. And that's what I've realized. Like, and I guess you can probably relate in the way that every time you've reached that depth, you've reached a whole new level of height. And I think that when we let go of that construct and that idea that it's all going to be unicorns and roses, we're not going to have the level of disappointment. I know for me, the biggest thing that has enabled me, yes, I use so many modalities, and I, for me personally, I'm not the person that has like a really strict ritual. I pull my modalities in the moments that I need them. And I think the biggest thing that has enabled me to move through any traumatic or painful experience or low that I've reached is full trust. Trust that it is happening for me. You know, I've always had a faith in God or universe or source or spirit or whatever you believe in, but I've always had a deep faith in God and something guiding me throughout this process. And sometimes when we ask for something, you know, when we ask to experience a certain reality, there's a process of undoing in order for us to become. And sometimes during that undoing, there is pain that's associated with it, maybe. But when we have the ability to have full trust and faith in that process, we are going to move through it and be guided through it with far more ease. It's in the resistance and the avoidance that creates the friction. But when we have the ability to surrender to it, then we can learn and move through it at a far more rapid speed. So for me, meditation is a huge part of my life. It's a not negotiable, and whether it's meditating for 5 minutes during the day, like sometimes that's all I'll have time for, just drop in quick meditation, come back out. Or, you know, when I've got more time, I will prioritize sometimes going to the beach and meditating for half an hour on the beach and really dropping into my body. Because the amount of information and knowledge that I am processing through this on a regular basis, I need to make sure that I maintain optimal mental clarity so that I can process high levels of information at any given moment. Breath work is something that I usually will call on if I feel that there is an emotion within my body. And breath work can be highly uncomfortable, especially if we're doing like a form of holotropic breathing. It can be highly uncomfortable, but once again, it's the surrender to the pain. You know, while things are passing through us, while there are emotions that are stored within our physical being, sometimes there is pain associated through that passing. And breath work, if I feel like there is some sort of an emotion that I need to process and I'm not consciously able to identify what it is, I might drop into just some breath work. And call on that tool. And then in the way of nutrition, you know, like nutrition is something that I have always prioritized. I'm definitely not obsessive with it anymore because I believe that there is so much to be said for beliefs around what you're consuming, as opposed to having that scarce attitude towards the food consumption. When we're coming from a place of guilt and shame and going, well, I have to eat this way because that's what's going to benefit my health and I have to. We usually avoid any form of pain and we move towards any form of pleasure. So for me, I enjoy eating healthy and having great nutrition, but at the same time, I don't beat myself up. I choose not to have guilt and shame attached to anything that I do. So I think that for me, and then I call on other modalities, you know, I've got multiple clients who are in sort of like the psychic realm. So if I'm feeling that, you know, I want to drop in and have more guidance because my own intuition may be clouded by the emotions that I'm experiencing, I will outsource and get someone else for guidance. I also have a treatment called myotherapy to keep my body in optimal shape because, you know, there is a lot of pressure put on our human vessels. So it's just a matter of understanding and intuitively being guided in each and every moment what we need then. Yeah.
So it's interesting because the idea of discipline, yes. Like when you speak to that, you just naturally want to eat healthy, perhaps yes. because you don't put pressure on yourself. What role, if any, does the idea of discipline play in your experience?
Okay, so I guess I'm on the other end of the spectrum because I have always been extremely disciplined. Almost to the point of being obsessive compulsive. And coming from someone who had a severe eating disorder, it was innate within me to only eat healthy food to the point that it was only coming from a place of scarcity and lack. So I think that discipline absolutely has to be implemented by people who are on the other side of the coin, who have absolutely none at all. In order to create a new habit or a new behavior or a new pattern, we need to do it repeatedly so that we can create a new neural pathway, a new way of being, a new go-to. So I think that if people think that, you know, that they're lacking discipline and they're eating all of the rubbish under the sun every day, and they think that by them believing that, you know, these foods are benefiting them, that's not going to create a result. They need to form that level of discipline in order to move into it. But at the same time, the way that our brain is designed is to, when we put that much pressure on ourselves, when we say, well, I can't have that, I guess, you know, you and the listeners could relate in the way that the more you say you can't have it, the more you want it. So it's just understanding that, you know, maybe in the way of changing from a nutritional standpoint, figuring out how we can enjoy the process of it, and how we can, you know, have little treats that so that we're not actually taking away all of the pleasure, but then developing that new habit and pattern with a level of discipline.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for just from somebody who's so innately disciplined, any kind of like tips to put a practice in place, or, you know, anything that one is trying to implement?
Definitely. So I think that what a lot of people do is they stick to things short term because they're not focused on the final outcome. You know, like sometimes leveraging the reality of, if I don't change now, what's my life going to look like in 5 years? Mm-hmm. And that's always been something that I've done, you know, even in business. If I don't take that action now, what's my business going to look like in 3 months' time? Because I've got to get about my business. I'm the creator of everything that I experience in my life. So it's my responsibility to act in accordance with it. And I think it's no different to nutrition or diet or exercise. It's like, well, if I don't do this now, if I don't actually pull my finger out and figure out, you know, how to become healthy and how to have abundant energy, what's the pain that's going to be associated with that outcome? And then as opposed to, okay, what do I want to become? What weight do I want to, you know, be at? How do I want to feel every day? What energy do I want to embody? That's got to far outweigh the simple moment of pleasure eating those things. And one interesting thing that I did, even in the way of diet, I actually started to, because back when I had an eating disorder, my body was highly sensitive just because of the emotion that was running through it. And I noticed every time that I would eat gluten or dairy, I'm not so sensitive now because I've done so much work to repair. Every time that I would eat gluten or dairy, there would be some level of pain. So gluten being a burger or a pizza or, you know, pasta or whatever it was, there would be some sort of pain in my gut. And it just didn't feel good. So instead of relating pleasure, so we move towards pleasure, we move away from pain. Instead of relating the pleasure to the taste that I experienced for maybe the 15 minutes that I was consuming the meal, I would actually relate. I would flick the switch in my mind and I would relate the pain to how I felt afterwards. And that was something that I was really able to, that was something that really sort of pivoted for me. And same in business. Instead of relating the, you know, the pleasure of not doing anything or going to the beach, I relate to the pain of that feeling of overwhelm when my work's not done. Right? So I think it's just having awareness and control over what happens up here, because our mind has an amazing way of talking ourselves out of things that are actually good for us.
And what, in your opinion, does proximity play into all of this? Because, for example, in your story, you speak to, you know, leaving a relationship that was probably taking a lot of energy. Perhaps that freed up energy for other things. But proximity to people, to places, like what about what you surround yourself with? How does that affect, in your opinion?
It's huge. Absolutely huge. I think if you're surrounded in people in any aspect, you know, like if you're surrounded in other people who inspire you in business, you are going to have that as your new normal. You know, I'm even grateful in the way that my partner has a much bigger business than what I do. And just being in that proximity on a regular basis gives me permission to grow and to reach higher than ever before. And it's the same in relationships. You know, after I left my ex-husband, I spent some time single just working on myself. Like, I didn't want a date. I didn't want any distraction at all. I just wanted to figure out who I was. And then I entered back into another relationship and I was with this person for 2 years. Once again, I love him very dearly and he's a beautiful human being, but was very much very different to me, and not growth mindset, and, you know, kind of like I was carrying a weight. And this was a perfect example of proximity, because while I was out there going, I'm reaching for the stars, I'm doing this, I'm innovating, and he was in the background going, oh, really? Do you think that you can actually do that? It starts to play a role in what you can actually create after a long period of time, when you've got that constantly in your ear, you know, as opposed to, I believe in you. Like, yes, you can do that. I've done it. You know, let's do it together. So I think that, and so many people just don't have the awareness. I say the top five people in your life are going to give you the life that you want or the life that you don't want, because they're going to be your circle of influence. And your circle of influence is super important. You know, I guess so many people could relate, even in the way of their family. They've gone out and they've, you know, said, I want to start this business. And then they go and talk to their family about it. And they're like, you can't do that. What do you mean? Simply based on their experience. Maybe they tried to start a business and they failed the first time and they gave up. And it's the same with friends. So if we're in proximity with people that look after themselves, that exercise, that implement rituals, they're the same level of consciousness, their growth mindset, you know, they're successful in business, they're inspirational. That's what we're going to become. We become what we associate with.
I feel that to be so true.
Yeah.
I've seen it at work in my life. There's a lot of pain, and I know we've spoken to pain. There's a lot of pain associated with that reality and letting things, people, places fall out of life that do not serve us. Mm-hmm. With that being said, is it worth it?
100%. Absolutely. I think that, you know, even for my previous relationship after 2 years, it was so hard. Like, it was hard to leave. And I knew within every inch of my being that it wasn't necessarily right for me. I knew that. But at the same time, there was still a deep level of love and attraction. But I just knew, and I consistently asked myself, what would my highest version of Krista do? What would the highest version of Krista want? What would the highest version of Krista settle for? And then as hard as it is, uncomfortable as it is, I would just act in accordance with it. And I think that so many people are willing to stay in familiarity just simply based on not doing the hard thing. So when we create the space, there's no way that a new relationship or a new venture or a new friendship or new people that match our vibration and our level of consciousness can come into our life unless we create the space. And if that space is taken up by people who don't align with us at all, but we're simply scared to let them go, we're never going to welcome in the new.
Mm. Yeah. So with this space that we create, a lot of times, I've, at least in my life, I've found that it was actually a new thing to invest in myself.
Mm.
Because I was giving and giving and giving and when I created space and there was actually room, I didn't even know how to fill my own cup.
Oh, yes.
And so I know that you've spoken a bit to kind of the non-negotiables in your life. Are there things that you do specifically to fill your own cup, like whether it brings you joy or what kind of things are present for you in that space?
Definitely. I'm blessed that I love what I do. Like, I genuinely love what I do. And when you have that passion and that drive, you never work a day in your life. So there's that, but at the same time, I definitely prioritize tuning out. And for me, the way that I fill my own cup is like, I love the beach. I love the ocean. I love being out in nature. Meditation is something that allows me to fully, be filled to the brim. And then spending time, like really present time with the people that I love, whether that's spending a weekend with my partner or whether it's just going out for an epic meal with friends or whether it's watching a movie with my daughter, just enabling my brain to switch off. And I think that when you're a creative and an innovator, sometimes you have the tendency, or a visionary even, I'm constantly on, you know, there's so many ideas that are always overwhelming me. And it's really the prioritizing the quiet and prioritizing the peace that enable me to be filled to the brim and then so much more productive when I do delve back into work. So, and even little things, you know, like just taking a moment to, you know, have a bath. You know, it's not something that I do on a regular basis, but I find it makes a huge difference. You know, even washing my hair and straightening it or doing a nice face mask or something that is just outside of what I would normally do enables me just to feel fresh, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would feel called to share with someone who might be just coming to this path of change, feeling called for something different? Like, actually, let me back up quickly because I would love to ask you something here. How important do you feel in your life it is to be doing something that you love with your time as work?
100%. Very, very, very important. Because I think that with the way that we are societally programmed, and it's by convenience to the people in charge, is to be on autopilot. And to be in, and the way that we're societally programmed too, is to majority of us, and is why a large percentage of the world are employees, is because that's the societal norm. And I think that when we step outside that box, it's scary and it takes a whole different level of courage. But I believe that life is to be lived. And if we're working a 9-to-5 job and we hate it and we're hanging out for the weekends, you know, we can get to the end of our life and realize that we never truly lived. You know, as opposed to having a mission, a vision, doing what we're passionate about, knowing that, and this is what lights me up, right? Like having that mission and that vision, it's not for everyone. But knowing that I've created some global change in the world, like literally gives me goosebumps. Because I want to be at the end of my life, you know, when I'm 150, I want to be at the end of my life and be reflecting on my life, knowing that I lived in every moment. I made huge global change. I created the world to be a better place. I loved every single part of the journey. And I mean, it'd be completely deluded to think that every part of the journey is going to be amazing, because yes, I still have stress. Yes, I still have overwhelm. Yes, I still have fear. But everything is put in perspective with coming back to the mission. Mm-hmm. And I love the mission. I love what I do. And I think it is so highly important because it enables us to truly live. Mm. Yeah.
So for someone in an employee position who perhaps is not, is feeling called for something different.
Yeah.
And the realities of life keep them in that space at this time. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend that person does outside of their 9-to-5 to connect to a passion or to just take some next steps towards this goal of loving what we do with our time?
Totally. So I think the biggest thing is just doing a lot of things until you figure it out. You know, we don't truly understand what we're passionate about. And I think that we can be multi-passionate. It doesn't mean that just because we're passionate about something, it has to be another form of business. You know, like I'm also passionate about singing and dancing and art. And, you know, there are so many things that I'm passionate about, but doesn't mean they're all a business. But I think the reason that I figured out what my passion was and what I truly loved was by trying a lot of things. And immersing myself in multiple forms of business. I think it is the quality of the question as well. You know, like if we're living in a place of why is this happening to me? Why am I still in my 9-to-5 job? Why can't I find my passion? We're never going to find the answer to that. It's always going to be in alignment to that victim why question. If we can prioritize just going out there and trying other things and then asking the question of how can I uncover my passion? How can I leave my 9-to-5 job? Because our brain is designed, like it's the RAS, the reticular activating system, part of our brain that filters out unnecessary information is always based on our beliefs and our questions. So if we are asking why, our filtering system is always going to find evidence of that why question. But if we're asking how, our brain is going to filter and find all of the questions or all of the answers that are in alignment with the how question. So it's really, like I've always said, the quality of your questions is going to be the quality of your answers. So I think it's really important to be patient and not to necessarily feel like we have to do something simply based on the fact that someone else is doing it. But, you know, at first it doesn't have to make complete sense. But if we're just guided and we continue to try new things, we're eventually going to uncover it.
Mm. Mm. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. And it can evolve, right? It can evolve. You start with something and it can grow and change.
Absolutely. 100%. And that's what it did for me as well. You know, like when I first stepped into business, it was like business, like structure, strategy, like business coaching. I mean, structure, strategy, like all of the pieces. And now over time, like because I am guided so spiritually and I have so many modalities and pieces in my toolkit, I have a very sort of almost quantum approach to business. You know, like there is, I'm very intuitively guided. I don't regurgitate the same information to every person I speak with. I pull from my toolkit, but I'm intuitively guided at the advice that I give in that moment to the person and meet them where they're at. So it does, it absolutely evolves over time.
Mm. So then going back to my question, for somebody who, and perhaps this is part of, you know, what that conversation evolved into, but do you just have any other nuggets of wisdom that you feel called to share for anybody who might be listening?
So many, but I think that the biggest piece and the greatest journey that we can embark on is uncovering and understanding who we truly are to the core. Because when we come back to that place of knowing and remembering, because I believe that all of us are born with greatness. Like I believe that, and it's our life experience that even allow us to step into that more. But I believe that we're all put on this earth in this human vessel to do something magnificent. But sometimes we need to undo what we've been told we are and just remember who we are in the first place. And then from that deep place of certainty and knowing, we can create what we're passionate about. We can create the magic that we desire. We can attract the relationship that we want. We will nurture and love ourselves because we've remembered who we are. And then we can give our unique medicine to the world because there isn't one other human being on the planet that is you. And as cliche as that sounds, it's true. There is not one human that has walked your journey. There is not one human that was born as you were. So why not uncover and understand that to the depths of, you know, whatever you desire it to be?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your wisdom and your time in this space.
Thank you so much, beautiful. It's been such an honor and a pleasure.
I really appreciate how Krista shares so many gems in this episode. She is truly a powerhouse in business and in life. Please make sure that you go check her out on social media. She provides so much value on her platforms. You really do not want to miss out. And let me know how you are enjoying the episode so far. Do you have someone you want to hear in this space? Or do you have a question, a theme that you are looking to have answered or talked about? Connect with me on social media. And join the Your Hearth at Home private Facebook community to connect further with listeners from all around the world, as well as your featured guests. All of the links are in the show notes. I am sending you so much love. And I will see you next week. Namaste.